Our text today meets us in the place where compassion becomes calling. Jesus has been moving through towns and villages. He's been teaching. He's been proclaiming the kingdom. He's been healing people who carry all kinds of pain. And Matthew doesn't rush us past the crowd. He slows the scene down and shows us what Jesus sees. The people are harassed and they're helpless. They're sheep without a shepherd. They aren't nameless bodies in a religious crowd. They're tired souls, beloved by God, worn down by life, sin, sickness, disappointment, and poor spiritual care. These settings matter. Jesus isn't standing above the people with religious distance. He's walking through the towns. He's entering their places of worship. He's touching their sickness and he's speaking hope where life is heavy. The kingdom comes near in ordinary roads and crowded rooms. And Matthew wants us to understand that Jesus' mission is never separated from real human suffering. He teaches truth, but he also sees wounds. He proclaims the kingdom, but he also bends down toward the people who need it most. And that matters because discipleship begins before we speak, before we organize, before we plan. It begins before we serve. It begins with learning to see. Jesus sees past the surface. He sees the person under the reputation, the fear beneath the anger, the grief behind the silence, and the hunger beneath the wondering. Jesus' compassion isn't sentimental. It moves toward people with truth, mercy, and healing power. And then Jesus turns to his disciples. And he tells them to pray for the workers. And then he sends them. The ones who pray become part of the answer. And that's still how grace works. Jesus lets us see what he sees. He helps us feel something of what he feels. And through this, we join him in the work he is already doing. The church's mission is not driven by guilt or panic. It is born from the compassionate heart of Jesus Christ. So listen as I read or read along with me in Matthew 9, verses 35 through chapter 10, verse 8. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like a sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: do not go among the Gentiles or enter any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message: the kingdom of heaven has come near. heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Discipleship begins with seeing people through the compassionate eyes of Jesus and joining his healing work. You know, most of us know what it feels like to be tired in a way that sleep doesn't fix. You can get 8 hours and still wake up carrying the same concerns you went to bed with. A family situation, a doctor's report, a stack of bills, a child you're worrying about. A grief that still shows up when you least expect it. People can look fine on Sunday morning and still feel scattered on the inside. We learn how to smile, to shake hands, to hug, and to say we're doing all right, even when we're not. And that's part of what makes this passage so tender. Jesus looks at the crowd and doesn't just see attendance numbers. He doesn't see a ministry opportunity first. He doesn't see inconvenience, interruption, or failure. He sees people. He sees their weariness. He sees their confusion. He sees that they have been pushed around by forces they can't control. And they've been let down by shepherds who should have cared for them better. Matthew has already shown us Jesus moving through real human need. He has touched the unclean, forgiven sin, calmed fear, called a tax collector, eaten with sinners, and restored people others had counted out. And now Matthew pulls the camera back. We see the crowd. And then we are allowed to see the heart of Jesus. Compassion rises in him, not annoyance, not disgust, not cold analysis. Compassion. And for Jesus, compassion, it's love. Jesus' compassion is not just a feeling. It is love with movement in it. He sees suffering and steps toward it. He sees lostness and begins to shepherd. He sees sickness and he brings healing. He sees spiritual hunger and he announces the kingdom. When Jesus looks at broken people, he doesn't move away from them. He moves toward them. And that is where discipleship begins for us too. Before Jesus sends the 12, he lets them stand near his compassion. They've watched him teach and preach, heal, forgive, welcome, and restore. They've seen him treat people with dignity when others treated them like problems. And now he teaches them to see the crowd through his eyes. This may be one of the hardest parts of following Jesus. We can see people through fear. We can see them through politics, reputation, irritation, or old wounds. We can see them as difficult, needy, wrong, or in the way. But Jesus teaches us to see deeper. The angry person may be afraid. The distant person may be grieving. The person who acts like they don't care may have decided long ago that it hurts too much to care. Seeing with compassion doesn't mean excusing sin or pretending truth doesn't matter. It means refusing to forget that every person is someone Christ loves. That includes the people who frustrate us. It includes the people whose choices have caused harm. It includes the ones who have wandered so far they don't know how to come home. Compassion is not the same thing as approval. Jesus never confuses mercy with pretending. He tells the truth. But he tells it as the shepherd who has come looking for his sheep. That's a harder kind of love than simple niceness. It is holy love, patient. It's enough to stay near and strong enough to call people toward life. Then Jesus speaks of a harvest. Now that sounds like good news, but it carries urgency. The harvest is plentiful, yet the workers are few. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say the field is hopeless. He doesn't say people are too far gone. He doesn't say that the world is too dark. He says there is a harvest. God is already at work. Grace is stirring. There are people ready for mercy. They're hungry for truth. They're desperate for hope, even if they don't know how to name it. So Jesus calls his disciples to pray. Now that should steady us. Mission begins in prayer because the harvest belongs to God. The church doesn't own the field. The pastor doesn't own the field. The loudest voices do not own the field. The Lord of the harvest owns the field. Prayer reminds us that we aren't saviors. We're servants. We are not called to manufacture grace. We are called to join the grace that is already moving. But prayer is not an escape from obedience. In the very next movement, the ones who told to pray are the ones that Jesus sends. That can be a little uncomfortable. We ask God to send somebody, and sometimes God says, "Yes, I'm sending you." And he doesn't say it because we're ready in every way. He doesn't say it because we have no fear. He doesn't say it because we have perfect words. Jesus sends ordinary disciples with received authority. And Matthew names the disciples. And the list is so human. There are fishermen, a tax collector, a zealot, and Judas, who will betray him. This list should give every one of us hope, because it is proof of what I've been saying over the last few weeks. Jesus doesn't wait until his followers are polished before he sends them. He calls people still in the process. He sends people who still have growing to do. The power of the mission is not found in the perfection of the messengers. It is found in the authority of Christ. The first mission is focused on the lost sheep of Israel. Now that may sound narrow until we remember the larger story. God is faithful to his covenant promises. Jesus begins with Israel, but Matthew will end with all nations. Grace has an order, but it doesn't have a locked gate. The compassion of Jesus moves outward until every people and place is brought under the invitation of the kingdom. The disciples are sent to proclaim that the kingdom has come near. They're not sent with clever branding or religious salesmanship. They carry the message Jesus himself has been preaching. God's reign has come near because Jesus has come near. Hope is not abstract. Mercy has a face. Healing has hands. Forgiveness has a name. And then comes that beautiful command, freely received, freely given. Loved ones, that's the heartbeat of Christian service. We don't give grace because people have earned it. We give because we didn't earn it either. We don't offer mercy from a place of superiority. We offer it as people who know what it is to be found, forgiven, carried, and restored. And that should change how we serve. If I remember that I have received freely, I'm less likely to treat ministry like a burden or a stage. I'm less likely to look down on the person who is struggling. I'm less likely to act as though the church is a club for people who have everything together. The church is the gathered body of those who have been met by mercy and sent to share it. Who around us is harassed and helpless? Who's trying to hold life together with tired hands? Who has been poorly shepherded, overlooked, or pushed aside? Who needs not only a sermon, but a call, a visit, a prayer, a meal, a ride, a conversation, a safe place to be honest, a reminder that Jesus has not forgotten them? We can't heal every wound. We can't answer every question. We can't fix every broken thing. But we can carry the compassion of Christ into the places where we live. We can notice people. We can pray. We can speak the good news. We can serve without keeping score. We can give freely because we have received freely. That's not glamorous work most days. It is ordinary faithfulness. It is one visit, one prayer, one honest conversation, one quiet act of mercy at a time. But in the hands of Jesus, ordinary compassion becomes kingdom work. Small obedience can become a signpost pointing someone toward home. Y'all, let's let Jesus teach us to see again. Let's let him soften what has become hard in us. Let's let him interrupt our assumptions. Let's let him move us from prayer into faithful action. The world is full of weary people who need the shepherd's grace and care. The harvest is still plentiful. The Lord is still sending workers. And by grace, he is still sending us. Bow your heads with me, please. Lord Jesus, send us out with compassion. Help us see the people around us as you see them. Give us courage to pray. Give us humility to serve. Give us faithfulness to share the grace we've freely received. And may our words and actions point others to your mercy, healing, and hope. In Jesus' name, amen.